In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Hello, everyone. I am Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is the Magical Talking Hat, the only podcast in the world that will guarantee you not to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle erotic fan fiction.
You just blew it.
No, that's the guarantee. I'm just
giving you. But you just brought it up.
But you have to give the guarantee. You can't just say, you know, I guarantee you I won't talk about that. No, wait, that's how I should have done it. I'd be like, we're the only podcast who guarantees we won't talk about that one subject.
That one thing.
That we can't mention.
We won't mention.
Voldemort. We won't talk about Voldemort. Oh, shit.
This is episode 16, I believe.
I'm so glad you said that, because I have no idea. I'm behind on one. I haven't listened to 15. Was 15 good? What did we do in 15?
Well, I don't remember.
It seems like it's been longer than a week again. It's another one of
yes.
those ones.
It's
been a very busy week.
Of course, last time it seemed longer than a week it was. But
yeah, that's less interesting. Seems like longer than a week, because it was three. Well, okay. This, however, has been a week and feels longer. Therefore, it is of note.
Well, things happened.
Yes, a lot happened this week. What happened
I mean,
to you?
Not to me, to you.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Nothing new happens to me.
Well, so, William, how was your week?
My week was wonderful. How was yours? See, that's what I'm going to do from now on. I'm just going to throw it right back to you. Because I don't have anything interesting to talk about. I worked on my book, which I think I have the rough draft done.
Wait, the rough draft, or is it still the rough draft?
It's the rough draft. I really, you know, of course, when I was thinking about this, I realized, no, what I had before was a rough draft, and what this is really should be called is a first draft. And it's done, and it's going to go to a couple people who are going to help me edit it. And I've decided I'm going to let them do that before I let you read it. Because that way,
you take away all my fun.
No, that way I'm getting it read kind of, you know, twice. You know, one group of people does it.
Whereas if I read it and then they read it, you'd only be getting it read once.
Well, yes, because see, if I give it to you now and these other two people who are helping me edit it, you're all getting the same draft. But see, you're getting a rewritten draft. So I'll be getting feedback
yes,
on that.
Yes, but why didn't you give it to me first and then them?
Well, because that's a good question. No, I did think about that. I did think about that because the two people who are going to be reading it are very technical. I mean, they're giving it a very technical reading. What you usually give me is more of a higher level kind of...
This story is shit?
No, well, yes, but I mean, other than that, you know, kind of not so much as an editor, but as a reader. I mean, they give me that kind of feedback too, but they give me both kinds. And I kind of would like to take care of some of the smaller editing problems so that you're not distracted by those when you read it. And then you can give me your usual.
But I love those.
Yeah, well.
I'm saying you're taking out a big chunk of my favorite stuff in this.
So, yeah. Pretty soon I'll be sending it to them and I'll have them go through it first. And then then when I have another draft, I'll have you read it, and then maybe after that, I'll feel comfortable just putting it out there.
You see this flesh-eating bacteria on the blanket? Did you notice that?
No. Well, yeah, I notice it now, sure.
Yes, that is because someone who lives in this house, who isn't me, which should narrow it down.
To one of the cats.
Took who has thumbs. took the acoustical blanket, as I have named it, and used it to go pick mulberries.
Oh.
And so this evening I had to grab it and put it back, and so it still has the stains from the mulberries.
I suppose we should explain the acoustical blanket is what covers the lamp that the microphone is next to so that there's no sound bouncing
yes,
around.
Yes, the microphone is technically on a glass top table with a glazed pottery lamp next to it, all of which would echo like hell. So there is a blanket over. Ever since we created this new microphone layout, which hopefully works better. I never get any feedback about sound whatsoever, so I don't know. But hopefully works better. We've had this blanket, and it's the acoustical blanket, and it went missing. And apparently it was used to mulberries, and so it's come back with weird little spots on it that make it look diseased.
Hopefully
the acoustics still work, though.
It's fine.
So you just wrote all week.
Well, you know, and the kids are home for the summer, so I do a lot of stuff with them. One of them's working on a film, the other was working on music, and hopefully they'll have some interesting things before the end of the summer, little projects they're doing. And, you know, my week is usually just that. So, the youngest is having a birthday today.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
He's 14.
Big old party?
I don't know, I'm here. One of the many sacrifices I make.
Yeah, did you know of the plans before you left?
Yes.
Or you were like, I don't even want to hear about your birthday.
We've been doing things.
I got a podcast
today, and they're watching True Grit right now, which I recommend. It's
the new one.
Yeah, it's a
very good. Me too. No, it's very, very good.
Very good movie.
And less Coen-y than most Coen Brothers films.
It's funny you should say that, because I kind of thought that too, except Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is a fairly good comparison.
Although, which I haven't seen, which I need to.
Oh, you haven't seen that. Well, it's very good. Although
it doesn't tend to show up in this house. I think my wife hates it, but her brother loves it. I've been meaning to see it.
I don't, as far as levels of violence and whatnot in those two films, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou and True Grit, of course, has, you know, there's shooting and...
Yeah, but for a Coen Brothers film,
pre-tamed.
There's no violence. Yeah. Like, it's amazing. Yeah, there is like a 5-second sequence that I was like, oh yeah, it's them. And then the whole rest of the movie, like, oh my god. It's like people get shot with revolvers and there's a red spot on their clothes where they got shot and that's it. And I'm like, this is the Coen Brothers. We should have more splashes and flying limbs and close-ups on wounds.
I got the impression the real reason they wanted to do True Grit was because they wanted to write that really cool script where people are talking all old-timey.
Well, and that's the thing. and certain moments of dialogue, I'm like, yeah.
Well, this is Coen Brothers. And that's true for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, too. Yeah. It's very much...
And I don't mean it like as an insult to them. I like their films. Their films tend to be... Honestly, I'll say heavy-handed. Coen Brothers film, you cannot watch one of their films and not know it's them. And to me, that's not ideal.
No, yeah, you're right. I agree with that. But I think one theme that runs through all of their films, I think, is this whole... you know, there's something they're always doing with language and culture and how people talked and communicated.
Yeah.
Or how they talk in Fargo, how they talked in during the Depression or right after the Depression, how they talked in the Old West. That seems to be a big theme for them. And the fact that a lot of their films have some gratuitous violence in it is just, I mean, that's not really their deal. That just happens to go along with whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know this for certain, obviously, because I don't know them, but I'll bet if you talk to them, they'd say how surprised they are that people are surprised by films like True Grit and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, because to them that's like, well, this is what we do, you know, just because some of the other films.
Everything else we've done.
Well, but what about Lady Killers?
Was Lady Killers them?
Yeah. And, you know, there was some...
Yeah, like 7 people saw Lady Killers, and apparently you were one of them, so I had no idea.
I thought it was good, and I don't remember...
Wasn't it like Tom Hanks forms a gang with Wayans brothers? And
yeah, but... And there was death in it, of course, but it's not... I don't remember it being particularly gruesome.
The trailer seemed gruesome in that it seemed really bad.
Well, it wasn't... No, I thought it was pretty good. I'm pretty sure that was the Coen Brothers.
Wow.
It wasn't, you know, nothing really can top, you know, the wood chipper scene in Fargo, though. I mean, that's pretty bad. But that goes along with the story, see? It's not like... Yeah. I thought No Country for Old Men was a little more, probably their most gratuitous film for violence there was, because there were, like...
Blood Simple, also. I mean, I wouldn't call that gratuitous, but that had
I suppose. Violence. But yeah, specifically gratuitous, where you could probably have made the same film without that. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, the whole wood chipper thing in Fargo was, you know, that was a... made sense in the context of the
film. Yeah,
the
that film. Was a very pointed scene. Yeah. But.
Even though it was gross.
Yes. Oh, yeah, and I'm not, you know, I'm not anti... I mean, I watch 70s Italian horror films.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with certain levels.
But also, another thing they like to do that seems a theme in their films, they like to take an actor and have them do a character, you know. Actors that aren't generally character actors. Like, you know, I don't think a lot of people think of Tom Hanks as a character actor, but...
Well,
but you didn't like that film, so
that made didn't see that film because I thought it looked atrocious.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, but you... I don't even know how to finish that. It's been a long week. I'm tired.
So, yeah, you talk about your week because you're the person who has things happen that people are interesting in.
My week has been very up and down. The good thing is, you may recall, fair listeners... Last Thursday, I mentioned I had had an interview that day. The very next day, got a call, got offered the job. And I said yes. So, I have a job now. It starts this coming Tuesday, the 5th of July. And I am very excited about that. An actual full-time job with benefits. Awesome. And it's the same place Trish works. It's not the same building, but we can go there together. That is very cool.
And they talked to me the same day they hired you.
Yeah, I know. I was actually getting messages from almost all of my references on that. Because there were a ton, because they also wanted references. They wanted to know if I had any references from there. The company's ACT. I think I can say that. They wanted to know if I had any from ACT, because I've been doing all this temp work there. And I said, actually, two ladies that I worked with just recently said, if you ever want a reference, send them. So I did. So they... talk to everybody, so I was getting emails from old work people and people from ACT and stuff saying, oh yeah, they just called, and I didn't get my hopes up there because I've had that happen and they didn't hire me before. But they did this time, so I have a job, and it's been very, very long time, years since I have successfully managed to have full time employment, so I'm very excited and relieved because I was not coping well with that.
I just heard on the radio on the way over here that that when a person is unemployed or temporarily employed the way you were, that has a psychological effect that never goes away.
So I'm broken now.
Yeah, that's why.
Did they say what the psychological effect was?
Well, yes. You know, first of all, there's a psychological effect of being unemployed, which in our culture is very, very bad. You know, there's almost a stigma attached to it.
Oh, yeah, there's a very strong sense of self-worth with employment.
Right,
yeah.
And then when you're hired, even if it's a better job, I mean, it doesn't matter what job you get, if it's a better situation or anything else, you don't feel as secure in that job as you felt in previous jobs, and you might have a little bit of paranoia about, you know.
I believe that. Because as you know, the last real job I had, I was fired. Yeah.
That's right.
Actually fired, full on. We don't like, not laid off, not downsizing. We're actually going to keep the position. We're just going to hire somebody new for it because we don't like you. Fired. And that was very traumatic for me.
Sure.
To the degree that I say this is my first full-time job. Technically, year and a half ago, I landed a full-time job. It was a telemarketing job. I had it for 4 weeks, and then I walked out. After almost a full year of unemployment, I walked out because it was that horrible.
Yeah.
But that being said, the day before I started that job, I had a nightmare involving the person who had fired me and me going to a new job that technically didn't exist and finding out that they worked there, and once they knew it was me, they wouldn't let me work there.
Oh, God.
I got offered this job that night, had a similar nightmare. This one involved me actually going back to work where I had worked, and then, but like they were going to hide it from the guy who fired me, but then he found out. And so, yeah, I think this is going to stick with me. But we'll see. Theoretically, ACT tends to be a fairly secure place to do full-time work. They tend to like to keep the people that they train, so. And hopefully I won't suck, so. But anyway, that's the good story anyway. That's the good part.
Is there a bad part?
Yes.
Oh.
Brand new car. Having some problems.
Already?
Yes, some pretty serious ones.
Gracious.
That
your,
may
your
cost
jackpot
a lot of
car.
Money. Yes. I don't want to go into too much detail because this is on the air and I'm still fighting with people. But, yeah, I don't know how much money this is going to cost me, and it's not good.
Wow.
And it's some pretty serious, like, not like, well, that's annoying, but actually, like, you need to fix it kind of problems.
Huh.
So, and I've been spending a lot of the last few days sitting around waiting for mechanics, car dealers, and other people to call me back about things. Wow. And that's been getting really frustrating. So, I have not been a happy camper, especially the last couple days.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
So there's that. And I don't think I've seen any movies since the last time we talked.
Well, I saw Green Lantern just today.
Oh, and?
It wasn't horrible.
Normally that would be a very bad sign right there, but that actually, to me, makes it sound better than I was afraid it was.
Well, I saw Thor, and...
Oh, you did see Thor?
Yeah, I saw Thor.
When did you see Thor?
A few weeks ago.
You neglected to mention that.
I know I did. I did see it before last week when we had a... I think I saw it... You know, you asked how my week was, and I literally thought about the week. I didn't think about the whole time. It was during that time we didn't meet. But yes, I did see Thor, and it's kind of... I thought Thor was a little better.
That's not a good sign.
But they were in the same class, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
so very pretty, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and... Part of me just wants to say, oh, yeah, that was entertaining. You know, that was a good, you know, whatever, entertaining film. It wasn't terrible, or I don't, as you like to say, I didn't wish I had that 2 hours of my life back or anything like that. But the other part of me is thinking, why shouldn't I expect more from any film, much less a comic book film? Because, you know, I was thinking about the first Iron Man film and how really good it was.
Yep.
Just excellent storytelling, a lot of heart, you know.
And great performances.
Yeah, and...
Which is something you don't generally get out of comic book movies. Actually, really good acting, and the sense that the people who were cast in it needed to be the people cast in it, and
sure.
Not like, wow, we could have gotten somebody who kind of looked like them.
Right, and so, but this film, you know, the script is kind of weak, and the characters aren't very well drawn, and the acting's not that great. But it looks great, and because it's a comic book movie, part of you wants to think, well, that's okay, because half of a comic book, or maybe even a little bit more than half of a comic book, is how it looks.
The picture, yeah.
Yeah, and you get used to even the comic book stories. You know, the comic book authors that are lauded as great storytellers pretty much have crappy stories. Let's be honest. I mean, they're not the kinds of stories that you could really turn into a novel or a movie or anything, but they work in comic books. So for those of us who have read a lot of comic books, you see a comic book movie, and your standards for character development and script kind of match. And the pretty pictures make up for it for you, and you walk away thinking, okay, that was an okay experience. But after seeing a film like Iron Man and knowing that, hey, wait a minute, someone...
It can be better.
Yeah, someone can actually tell a good story here. It can still have great... stunning visual elements, but the script can be good, the characters can be good. So why are we settling for less? And of course, some of us aren't, because I don't even know how well Green Lantern did. I don't, or Thor. I mean,
both of them did not do as well as they were expecting.
Well, okay,
to do.
Well, see, there you go. So it's not even that huge throngs of people are lowering their standards. It's not impressive.
Well, no, because it killed everybody. Because. In a film standpoint, in that sort of timeline, Batman Begins, Iron Man, Dark Knight, Iron Man 2, relatively close together. Like, yeah. Most people are in the same age bracket for all when all four of those came out, whatever yeah. that age bracket is. And I think that's ruined a lot of us. Because those four, to a lesser extent, honestly, Batman Begins and Iron Man 2 to me. Dark Knight and Iron Man are the two that really
yeah.
nailed me. Yeah. And also, to a lesser extent, the Bryan Singer X-Men.
Okay, right.
Fuck Brett Ratner. Not just for X-Men 3, but lots of reasons. I think it's ruined a lot of people. Even people who aren't aware and or necessarily could articulate it.
Yeah.
Are just like just in the back of their head, got so much more out of Iron Man or the Batman movies or things than they do out of these other ones, and so they leave feeling a little more empty. But I don't know. I'm putting words in the whole world's mouth.
Well, that both Thor and Green Lantern, from what I, you know, from my experience, were really weak in terms of the female character and the female lead. And that's always something that bothers me anyway.
As long as everybody doesn't talk about how amazing the one in Green Lantern was. So that's what drove me. I did not like Natalie Portman in Thor.
No, I didn't
and
either.
A lot of people didn't, but the other half of people thought she was the most amazing thing about the movie.
Yeah, no. Not for me.
Let me ask you this about Green Lantern.
Okay.
The biggest issue with Thor, like, I don't mean, like, the weakest part of the film craft, but the biggest reason not to see it was there's a pretty long chunk in the middle that is pretty dead boring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Green Lantern have this problem?
Not that I recall.
Okay, because if Green Lantern is not boring, then I may go see it.
If it has that same sort of boring chunk in the middle, I didn't think it was boring. There were moments, as there are in every story and every film, where something emotional was, you know, some moment of emotional weight fell completely flat because of the poor writing, really.
But sometimes that can be really funny.
Well, it wasn't funny. But it was pretty even in terms of what you're talking about. There wasn't like a boring middle part or anything like that. And there were two other films I saw.
Wow. Oh, I saw you did nothing.
Well, this was before, and I forgot to mention it. Kung Fu Panda 2.
How is that?
It starts kind of slow, as a lot of sequels do, you know, because it's like when someone's writing
a sequel. We finished this already.
Yeah, and they don't really know how to get it started, but once it gets started, it's quite good. And there was a third one.
I was a big fan of the original Kung Fu Panda, and for some reason, I just haven't been that interested in Kung Fu Panda 2.
Well,
Kung Fu Panda felt very self-contained.
Oh, yeah, and very original.
Yes.
And all of the things about it that make it great couldn't possibly be great about a sequel. You know, how original it was, how just all these elements that made it sort of come out of left field and really surprise you.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sequel, so it can't do that again. But I think what they're kind of relying on with this film to really sort of pull people in is you get a little more of Poe's backstory.
Oh.
Which is the typical thing they do in a sequel when they don't know what else to do. But it was actually
so we find out why his dad's actually a duck?
A goose.
Oh, goose.
Actually, yeah. But there was another film, and now I'm not remembering what it was that we saw. It was Thor, Kung Fu Panda, and
Wasn't that Woody Allen thing?
No. I mean, we went with the kids. It was something the kids would have wanted to see. I don't remember. Maybe it'll come up.
You gotta keep track of this crap, dude.
I know.
What's wrong with you?
I know.
Leverage came back.
Oh. Yeah, you told me about that show before.
Oh, you still have never watched that show?
I've never watched it. You should watch that show.
But you should start at the beginning. Because I like that show. I like that show a lot. It goes up and down in quality significantly. And what keeps you going with it is it has some really good three-dimensional, dynamic, interesting characters that you care about. And so the episodes that have weaker plot, you keep going through them because you care about them. So you have to start at the beginning in order to do that.
Yeah, because you have to...
Exactly. Which honestly, is part of why I love Castle. Well, most of why I love Castle. Because Because if the characters and the character relationships are interesting enough and I care enough, I'll forgive plot things. And like Castle, where it's a mystery of the week, leverages the con game of the week.
Gotcha.
And the first season was fine because they just did that. Second season, they're like, oh, we have to do something different. And so they sort of had in a new plot and stuff. And now this new season, the premiere was not strong. It was not bad, I mean, but it was not one of my favorite episodes. But I still recommend the show in general. But I recommend going back to the beginning.
Well, we might have to do that.
And I started watching John Benjamin Has a Van.
Never even heard of that.
Because it's new, brand new, on Comedy Central. John Benjamin is a voice actor who you probably heard in many things. He has a very distinctive, deep bass voice. Most common people know him at this point as the voice of Bob on Bob's Burgers and the voice of Archer on Archer and the voice of the devil on Lucy, Daughter of the Devil. And I like him in a lot of the stuff that he does. And this is him. It's basically a fake, a sort of action news show. It's him and a van and, like, a sound guy and a video guy or whatever. And they go around and they do stories. And it's all totally fake, but interspersed are a lot of bits of interacting with people who aren't aware it's fake kind of thing. So he had bits, like, he did one where he was having the new game show Cash Stall, which is like Cash Cab, but it's a bathroom stall. So he's in the one next door, so they go into the bathroom. And he's like, would you like to play Cash Stall? You can win $100 if you answer these questions. And the one I just watched today was, do you have a minute? And he'd go up to people and say, excuse me, do you have a minute? With his microphone. And they'd say, okay. And then he would just stand there with the microphone.
What was that animated, what was it called? There was a kid, and he was in this too, but I can't remember what it's called. He was a coach or something.
Oh, yes, Home Movies.
Oh, yeah,
Home Movies. Created by Brandon Small, later known to have created Metalocalypse. He was Coach McGurk, the soccer coach in Home Movies. Also did really well in that, yeah. I really like a lot of his stuff. I'm not keen on Bob's Burgers, but I'm enjoying this now. I may get sick of this eventually, but for now, it's I'm enjoying it. And Ugly Americans is coming back for a second season. I'm so happy about that. I love that show. So we're almost at a half hour. See, I'm telling you, it feels like it's been longer than a week. See, we're catching up a lot.
I know, there's a lot of things. Well,
should you tell me how you rejected my role-playing game?
No, we don't need to talk about that.
No, it's okay. I figured you would, because I knew actually that night was bad for you, but you had said something about maybe, so I wanted to give you a shot first.
I wanted to do it, because it sounds like fun.
I have finished my Shadowrun campaign, well, at least for now. On Sunday, we had the final bit, and now we're taking hiatus, and it was a big, huge fight on a train that actually got way crazier than I expected, which I should come to expect at this point. But so that's going to be on hiatus, and now I'm going to run something else, which I'm working on getting grouped together for. So
I'm very disappointed that I can't do it.
And we're disappointed for you.
I am. I'm serious. It sounded like a lot of fun. And I've never done one before.
It's not going to be. It's going to be drudgery.
Okay.
I intend to make it bad. I was trying to explain this to them the other night. Yeah, pretty much the reason I GM is to make sure my players do not have a good time. So I can, like, suck that part of their life away.
Which is also why you have a podcast.
Yes! Reaching the masses. Which do appear to be growing, but keep working on it, people. Tell your friends. Tell the people you hate, especially, to listen to the show. And people who already know us, tell them. But if they only know one of us, talk about how the other one really counters all the crap from the first one. In both directions. Because people who just know one of us tend to be really sick of that one of us. So this way, you know, say, oh no, and then there's this one other guy that totally negates all the crap of the first guy. So spread the word, people. I want to be a billionaire so damn bad. Okay, anyway, hat time. We got some new ones in here. Some people heeded my call. And I'm really impressed by this fascination now where people email in a bunch of questions and you can tell which ones they think are stupid and which ones they don't based on which ones they sign and which ones they don't. Oh, and a new concept that the hat has put in, though this isn't retroactive, so you may not notice it before. If there's a little star in the corner of the card, it means said question was digested because it was too damn long. People, I've thought of how to explain this best to y'all. Think Twitter. You know how Twitter's 144 characters? Even that's a little big for us, but usually I can make it work. Try and keep it around 144 characters, including the dear whatever and the signature. Try and keep it around there. You'll have much better luck. Okay, you have drawn a question. What is the question?
This is from Jib? Or is it...
Jib?
Yeah.
Yes, Jazz is Blues. Jib, he's a guy from Happy Jacks. Who's known for his really long letters, by the way, so this may have been digested.
No, it wasn't. But welcome. This is his first...
I think this is Jib's first one on here. Yes. Yes. Jib has been hugely famous on Happy Jacks. He actually Skyped in one time on Happy Jacks. So people who listen to Happy Jacks know Jib. Jib is awesome. We love Jib.
Welcome to the show, and thank you for submitting a question. What is your favorite kind of cookie and why? Cheers to the hat.
Oh, this is tough.
Yeah, it's really...
I like a lot of cookies.
I do too.
I think I had one, though, but I'm trying... I'm a big fan in general of the sugar cookie. Well, okay. The shortbread count?
I don't know.
I think shortbread wins for me if it counts.
Okay.
I love, freaking love shortbread. But in general, I'm a fan of the sugar cookie-ish thing. And also close cousin Snickerdoodles, which really are not made very much anymore. And I don't understand, because when I was growing up, that was one of the staples.
Yeah.
There was chocolate chip, oatmeal raisin, Snickerdoodle. That would come even before just plain sugar sometimes.
And peanut butter.
And peanut butter, yes, and peanut butter. Those were the standards.
Yeah.
Snickerdoodle was right in that, you know, group. And nowadays they hardly seem to show up, and I love them.
Monster cookies used to be fairly rare, kind of a rare
now
little
treat.
Now
they're freaking everywhere.
Now they're everywhere.
And I don't go for monster cookies in general. Partially because growing up, my neighbor's mom made something she called monster cookies, tasted completely different. It was closer to like a Florentine, like it was one of those that had a lot of like sugar and butter, and so it got very crispy and tasted very like bad for you when you ate it. And so growing up, those were monster cookies to me, and now there's things that are just like oatmeal, peanut butter, M&M, like too much in one thing. It's like we just took the cabinet and dumped it into a bowl and made it into cookies, and so I don't go for monster cookies. But yeah, they are friggin' everywhere.
Well, when I was a kid, I preferred chocolate chip pan cookies over chocolate chip cookies. I don't know why, they tasted different.
Wait,
to me.
Wait, what's a pan cookie?
It's... Really, all you do is you prepare the batter just like a regular...
We call it dough.
Cookie.
Okay.
Or dough, I mean, yeah. And you put it in a pan, I guess, and you bake it. So
oh, bar cookies.
Yeah, sure.
That nobody calls them pan cookies.
Well, that's what they called them when I was a kid.
That sounds like pancakes. I was imagining like ladling cookie dough, which I really kind of want to try now. And I need to do it quick before diabetes takes my feet. I kind of want to take chocolate chip cookie dough and just cook it like a pancake.
Okay. But I like those better than for some reason, better than the cookies. I mean, they're the same thing, but...
No, but it, I mean, it's a different delivery method. I mean,
and my mom used to make these pumpkin cookies, little round pumpkin cookies with white icing on them, which
mm-hmm.
I really liked. And she made these sugar cookies, and she got the recipe from my grandmother, I guess, that are a little bit cakey. But they're not,
okay.
But not, you know. So, and she would make snickerdoodles out of that same thing, just put cinnamon on it instead of sugar.
Yeah.
And I like those. I'm trying to think of other cookies. And she made monster cookies that are better than any stuff that people are making today. But, and peanut butter cookies.
Mm.
All of those were great.
I used to be so into peanut butter cookies. I've kind of gotten over them, and I don't know why. But something like peanut butter cookies don't taste the way I remember, and I don't like them as much. I don't know what that's about.
My favorite as a kid, though, was oatmeal scotchies.
Now
I've had them, and they seem a little too sweet. But when I was a kid, I loved them.
I could definitely understand that.
Oatmeal scotchies.
I used to have, just out of college, my first job, a woman there gave me a recipe to make cookies out of any store-bought cake mix. And it was really simple, such that I can remember almost all of it, but not quite enough to do it. You put some eggs and some oil and dumped it in with a boxed cake mix, like Duncan Hines or anything like that. And then you baked them for like 10 minutes at 350 or whatever. I don't remember exactly. But it was awesome because there are literally frillions of cake mix flavors out there.
Mm-hmm.
And this works on any of them.
But it would be a cookie.
It would be a cookie. Cakey. Yes, no, it would be a cookie. And so I made them out of the carrot cake mix. I made them out of the stupid strawberry mix.
Wow.
I made them, of course, you make them out of like the double fudge or whatever, sure, and that sure. a killer. Like any of them, yellow cake, any of those. And they make these really tasty cookies. And depending on how you cook them, they could be kind of chewy, you could make them a little crunchy. Really, really good. And you could just use any of them. And I think I made them out of rainbow chip one time. And that was really awesome. So if anybody has a recipe like that out there anymore, give it to me. And I will probably not use it because I'm lazy. But I will be happy that I have the ability should I choose to.
But Jib asks also, why?
Why?
Now, for the ones I described that my mom used to make, obviously, my mom used to make them. I mean, there's some.
Yeah, yeah.
The oatmeal scotchies that I had were usually at school. And it was... And I don't know, maybe I can't tell you. I mean, our school lunches were actually pretty good in my recollection. I used to hear people make fun of school lunches all the time, and I could never understand why, because I thought our school lunches were pretty awesome. And out of all the, there were two things that they made for dessert items that I really, really liked. One was something called strawberry fluff, which was my absolute favorite, and these oatmeal scotchies, and just because I thought they were tasty, not really for any, you know, deeper reason than that.
Did you ever have pizza wheels?
At school?
Yes.
No.
We had something called pizza wheels. At the time, I kind of liked. Thinking back, here's basically what I think it was. You take the top part of, like, a hamburger bun. You put, basically, Sloppy Joe on top of that. And then you melt some cheese over the top so it looks vaguely pizza-ish. And you make kids eat it.
Now we had.
And I didn't realize until just now. I'm having tremendous breakthroughs right now. This is good therapy for me.
We had
cookies
pizza.
Cookies are unlocking things. Yeah, the rectangle-y kind?
Yeah. Which they made, I mean.
Ass.
Oh, no, ours was really good. I mean, they made the dough. Fresh,
yeah, no, and I have a recipe for making your own homemade pizza dough, and I've done it, and it tastes like the school one, which is to say ass.
Oh, man, I liked it. I mean, I liked ours.
I don't like a bready dough.
I don't remember our food being really processed, you know, and the cooks didn't just thaw things or you know, heat things up. They actually cooked things, and it tasted good, But, I mean, even then, I remember the school was sort of made fun of, you know, whenever we had cheese in anything, like macaroni and cheese, it was like surplus government cheese or whatever.
Oh, yes, yes.
Or that, and the suggestion was whenever we had hamburgers or anything with meat in it, it was like lower grade meat or something.
Ours. No,
nobody else wanted. But, I don't know. They had, we had fresh baked cinnamon rolls with, when we had chili. It was really good.
With chili?
Yeah.
Why do those go together?
I don't know, but it kind of did. I mean, when I was growing up, it was pretty great. And the cinnamon rolls were amazing. Again, you, not something they got from somewhere else and thought out. I mean, they made this.
You're more of a tool than I realized.
What are you talking about? Why?
Why don't more people stick up for their school lunches?
Well, I'm not really sticking up for school lunches.
I mean, no, you're exactly sticking up
no,
for your school
today's
lunches.
School lunches are pretty atrocious. But the women who worked at my school making school lunches, they made school lunches, like, from scratch. It wasn't like today, where, you know, you get it all prepackaged. And I mean, I'm sure they do make some things in school lunches in some places, but a lot of school lunch programs are pretty atrocious in terms of having heavily refined foods and stuff. And
mechanically separated chicken.
Just wasn't that way. I mean, it was a tiny little school. There were maybe 150 kids in the whole school, in the elementary school, and then also in the high school, junior high together. You know, so it wasn't that hard to cook for that many people from scratch, and they did. And they did an excellent job.
Thank you, Jamie Oliver. Let's go on to the next question.
Okay. I just thought...
Tool.
I had a...
Oh, and Jib, as to why, all I have to say is C is for cookie. Gosh darn it, that is good enough for me.
But it is a sometimes food, so...
Yeah, that's new, yes. I did see on YouTube, though, the breastfeeding Sesame Street clip from, like, the 70s.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Buffy St. Clair breastfed her baby while Big Bird watched. And Big Bird watched, and she explained the process to him, and afterwards he decided that that was nice.
That was nice.
Yes.
When I went to a puppeteers convention in Florida some time ago... What?
Could you repeat that closer to the mic, louder, please? Because that's just awesome. I want that to be my ringtone. Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to say it. Everybody heard what I said.
When William was attending a puppeteers convention...
In Florida.
Does this have anything to do with the Norse gods?
No.
Wasn't a sock puppeteers convention?
No.
Ah! Wife!
But,
She snuck away.
But there were some people from Sesame Street there, and they were showing blooper reels and stuff. And
it was
pretty funny to watch Big Bird, you know, make a mistake and then start swearing and stuff. It's really hilarious. But anyway.
Okay, next question, which fits in well with the whole things were better when I was younger and now they suck kind of concept. This is from Kia B.
This is also a new...
This is a new one. In fact, this is relatively newly added to the hat, I'm fairly certain. I do think it's hilarious that she says Kia B, as though we have a lot of Kias writing in.
Well, welcome to the show.
This one is Kia B. Welcome, Kia. Kia asks, just what is wrong with today's music? Does my questioning of new music make me an old fogey? The answer is nothing and yes. If you don't have Bieber fever, there is something wrong with you.
Well, my experience with music in general is that most of what someone might consider, and I can't speak for you, Kia, but most of the time people talk to me about today's music, whether they like it or don't like it, there's not usually anything about today's music that is actually new. What might be new is that this particular kind of music is popular now for whatever reason. Maybe because the powers that be in the music industry have decided it's going to be popular, or it's something that younger people like. But even if younger people like it, if you're hearing a lot of it, it's probably because you're around younger people or a station you like to listen to has decided it's going to play that kind of music. But what it all comes down to is there really isn't a today's music. What's happened is that for whatever reason, there's a particular kind of music that you don't like, and you're being exposed to it, either because you have kids who listen to it, or you have coworkers who listen to it, and so no, it's not because you're old or anything like that. It's just some circumstances causing you to be exposed to music you don't like is really what it comes down to.
You suck.
But that music has always been there. Somewhere, someone has been listening to it, just not you.
You suck.
What?
Yeah, don't listen to him. Music today is awful. You're right. It's terrible. I, for some reason, am still listening to pop stations lately. Oddly enough, I've been getting more into certain kinds of hip-hop, which really confuses me why I would do that.
Well, see, that's an example. 35-year-old a lot of guy. People call hip-hop music today's music, but hip-hop's been around for a very long time.
Yeah, it was called rap back then. But no, that's the thing. Same genres. Shitty performers.
Well, okay.
Justin Bieber.
Well, let's talk about that. because that's a little bit different thing. If you're saying that in a given genre, suddenly the popular performers in that genre aren't as good or don't seem to be as good as people used to be, well, that's probably
well, a usually real phenomenon. What this happens when people say is when I turn on the radio, the stuff I'm hearing is crap.
Yeah.
And I think it's a milestone. Again, William, feel free not to listen. This does not apply to you because you're William. But for the rest of us, I think there is a certain point you hit where you're not keeping up with the new crap anymore. There's a certain point where you're still listening to the popular stations and the current stuff, and it's cool, and sometimes even, like, you know, for my mother, this came much later, I think, because she was still listening and stuff like that, and you're with it and all that, and then suddenly those stations don't sound very good to you anymore.
Okay, but that presumes something, doesn't it? You say
that presumes a lot, but yes.
Keeping up. Yes. That presumes there's some kind of actual progression, which there isn't. There's all kinds of music. The music that you liked when you were a teenager, someone is still making new versions of that music somewhere. And you might still be listening to that. But maybe...
Well, yes, I think we're presupposing popular music.
Right, but popular music even has lots of things going on in it. And the fact of the matter is, what popular music you'll be exposed to is determined by a lot of factors that are different now than they were when you were a teenager. What determined the music you were exposed to then was a lot of social situations with your peers and everything like that, which had an influence also on whether or not you thought it was good. Now, a lot of your exposure to popular music is a coworker in a cubicle next to you or your kids, not the kind of, you know, social situation where there's a lot of camaraderie or whatever else. It's more of a someone is imposing this on me, so you don't really have a vested interest to really like it or listen to it. But when you're a kid, everyone else is listening to it. You're listening to it with them. You're having a good time. And so that makes what you might... Well, it makes you like crappy music when you're a teenager, frankly. I mean, a lot of people, when they look back, say, gosh, that song's pretty crappy. I can't believe I listened to it 50,000 times.
No, all the music I listened to back then is still awesome. Except, sadly, I do have 2 Shakira songs on my iPod. But I'm only sorry about one of them. See, but William, you're just relativizing this out to the point that we can't even discuss it. Because we're like, yes, everybody's music is special, and everybody's music has been done, and your personal feelings are valid, but not, don't
well,
actually matter.
No, there's just some social, well, you know what, there are a lot of people that say, all the music that I liked when I was a teenager is still good, but they're discounting a lot of the sentimental attachments they have to these songs and the memories they bring up, not really evaluating the song on any type of merit.
Today, I listened to a song I had not heard in a very, very long time, and I think I've had to decide that it is going to be put on one of my favorite songs now. Starland Vocal Band, Afternoon Delight. And I was kind of pissed off because the DJ at the time referred to the song title as Skyrockets in Flight, which is not correct. It's Afternoon Delight. And I've decided this may have to be one of my favorite songs. Because I know the song, and it's always funny, you know, it's this very sweet-sounding song that's about having sex midday. But as I listened this time and really listened to the whole song, it is really adorable. Like, it is really cutesy. Like, you expect long, blonde-haired women with acoustic guitars to be playing this for kindergartners. Cutesy kind of... it is schmaltzy, folky, Peter, Paul, and Mary kind of thing. But it's a song, not that mentions, a song whose entire point is talking about, instead of having sex at night, let's have sex this afternoon, because that'll be awesome. And I love that.
Okay.
I love that it's this romper room little Teletubby song about 3 p.m. fucking. So now it's going to be one of my favorite songs. And it has some fascinating harmonies.
I just want Kia to know that she's not an old fogey because she doesn't like somebody else's music.
I think you are, Kia, but so am I. And old fogies are cool.
You know,
they didn't used to be when I was younger, oddly enough, but now they are.
Another reason I feel like this point deserves being made is because music is often used as sort of a flashpoint, you know, in conflicts between these supposed gender, or not gender. That tells you what's been going on in a lot of my discussions lately online. But generation gap stuff. You know, these... We just make up this whole generation gap thing, really, based on, oh, my kids listen to different music, my kids watch different TV shows. And even though it's true that these things happen, there's, you know, the generations have a lot more in common than not. It seems like people are trying to find reasons for this group of people to fight with this group of people.
Why, William, if I didn't know you better, I'd say you were raising two teenagers in your house right now and grasping at straws to maintain your sanity.
Well, no, actually, the teenagers in my house are a good example because my, the youngest, the one who's turning 14, he likes heavy metal music, which I did not listen to when I was a teenager at all. I didn't even like it. But I listen to a lot of heavy metal music now, new heavy metal music from new artists that he listens to and likes, and I like it. Because, you know, it has... I can see...
You ever go back and listen to the old heavy metal music that you would have been listening to when you were his age?
Some of it, because he likes some of that. He likes AC/DC.
But most of it sucks.
Well, yeah.
I've started listening to hard rock and heavy metal, too, and I found that the old stuff sucked.
Well, which is why I didn't like it, because I didn't think it was that great. But that said, there's some... You know, I don't like AC/DC, I mean, in general, but I've listened to the songs that he likes, and I see why he likes them, you know, and it's like, okay, yeah, I can get into that. So, you know, it's just the things that people set up is these big differences between this group and that group because of age, because of gender, because of cultural background. It's all just made up. You know, it doesn't really exist there. And, you know, Kia asks if she's getting old and this is why she doesn't like today's music. And no, it has nothing to do with your age. You're just hearing music that you don't like. It's as simple as that. There's always been music that you don't like. For your whole life, there will always be music you don't like and has nothing to do with how old you are.
If it sounds like I'm getting overly emotional, it's because I'm having an allergy attack.
He's allergic to me.
No, actually, as somebody pointed out on Facebook, it is tree bukkake season.
Oh.
Isn't that a lovely thought? For those of you who don't know what bukkake is, congratulations. And Kia, he's wrong. It's because you're old. But you're the same age as me, so that's okay.
And you're significantly younger than me.
Yes.
I don't even... think you really qualify as middle-aged.
I know, you brought this up before, and I tend to agree with you, but I'm afraid of Sir Guido and his power. I also, I love our listeners, but I hate Sir Guido, and he knows why.
But I am middle-aged. I qualify.
You've been middle-aged since you were 3.
2, actually.
Mm.
You brought it up.
That's true. Okay, we're going to have to end here soon.
Really? We don't have
yes.
We only did 2.
I know, but we need to have a little talk first.
Oh, no. I thought we had a business meeting before the broadcast, and we got that out of the way.
No, this one is about what we call our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have had some responses. Not a lot, but the ones we've had tend to be pretty good. And I got to narrow it down to about 3 things right now. The 3 ones, so William, you think about this. Listeners, you think about this. Mad Hatters, which admittedly was mine, and I still kind of like. Magical Hatters, which is more on, you know, on the nose, but a little too on the nose almost because it just dovetails too much with the title for me almost. I mean, it's like we just stuck "ers" at the end of the title anyway. Or the Dark Horse contender that sort of came out of nowhere that I think might actually have come from Kia. Hatlings. I'm a little partial to Hatlings now that it's come up. So you should put your thoughts about that. You could do so on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. You can also email your thoughts to the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You should go like us on Facebook. I was going to make a button to like us from the blog, but what the hell is this about? I get the plugin and it says you can't do the plugin until you create an app on Facebook, and here's how you do that. And I go there to do that, and it says we must verify your account with either a mobile phone number or a credit card number. I don't own a mobile phone, people. And I sure as hell am not giving Facebook my credit card number. That's crazy. Why would they need that? What's going on there?
I have no idea.
So,
well, you know, if we go with Mad Hatters, it's just going to get shortened to Hatters. You know that.
Yeah, and I don't like Hatters. I don't know why. I don't like Hatters.
Well, that's what's going to happen. It's kind of like thinking about what you're going to name your child. You know, you have to think of all the nicknames. And
then you realize that your last name is Asweepe, and it doesn't matter.
I was going to mention that if you didn't.
Classic, classic bit.
That was a great, great one. And Nicolas Cage was perfect for that.
Nicolas Cage is good at comedy. He's just not good at everything else.
Oh, come on.
Leaving Las Vegas, he has worn out that credit at this point.
We only did two. But I want to thank Kia and Jib for their contributions. First time contributions both. Very nice.
Okay, my eyes are having such allergy problems I can't open them. What does it say on the thing?
I can't see. 57:10, 57:15. Am I looking at the right thing at the top?
That sounds about right.
Okay. It's about an hour.
It's about that. Do you have anything you need to plug?
Just usual stuff. Got a website, got books, got the comic. Everybody knows. www.jesusismygrandpappy.com. All the links are there to look at all the stuff that I've got out there.
Someday on the podcast, you should explain that title.
Jesus is My Grandpappy? Well, if you go there and look at the FAQ, you can figure it out pretty quickly. Yes.
I just want some dead air. I have no idea what I was going to say.
You were going to plug a few things?
No, I got nothing to plug at this point. Except
your tear ducts.
Infamous is a good game.
That's funny you should say that, because we took advantage of that thing you were talking about.
Oh, what'd you get?
Infamous and... I don't know. They took care of it. There were games they wanted.
Because Stardust was also really good.
Okay. Maybe that's what we got. I don't know.
Wipeout hasn't been that exciting, and we haven't tried Dead Nation yet, but...
Yo, Dead Nation, we got that one.
Okay. And that was the other one. But Infamous, I'm really enjoying. I'm almost done with it.
The kids demoed Dungeon Siege.
Oh!
They demoed and? I'm interested. I would like to get it so that I can play, you know...
With somebody.
With somebody, yeah.
Yeah, that's our whole thing, too. I really want to get it so we can go back to the hack and slash days.
Yeah, because I haven't played a cooperative game with anyone for a long time. I just watched other people play single-player games. So
Stardust lets you play co-op, but it kind of sucks.
So, yeah.
Because it's not split-screen, so you actually just limit your movement significantly.
Well, Dungeon Siege isn't split-screen either.
Yeah, but Stardust is kind of a twitch shooter.
Oh, I see.
So, that becomes awkward. I should stop rubbing my eyes, because they're going to explode.
Yeah, it's just going to... You're probably making it worse.
Probably.
Okay, we should wrap up then.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
Disregard the last hour and...
However long. Now, the tricky part is going to be hitting the stop button without being able to see. So, this will be fun. Is that it?
That's it. Yeah,
you
well...
Sure?
No, wait. You were on the stop button, weren't you?
No.
No, that's the record button. Is that the stop
button? I'm blind.
Well, it's square, but it's yellow, I guess.
Oh, so the color coding is a problem for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus. So what color is stop supposed to be?
I guess I don't know. That's stop. You're right.
Yes.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Ant Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.